Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Can you put your hand on your heart, whether you're in the room or in your living room, wherever you are right now? Father, I thank you that your faithfulness remains. I thank you that you're in our present, you're in our future. You hold us all together. So right now, as we stand or we sit in your presence, I pray that your word would speak directly to our hearts, that our hearts would be filled with your love, that we would feel strengthened from the inside out. Oh Lord, that you would hold us all together with your love, with your purpose, with your strength. So speak to us. Maybe say out loud, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak to my heart. I'm listening. I receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in the room, you can take your seats. Thank you, worship team, Pastor Chantel, for bringing such an incredible atmosphere of the presence of God. And I'm extremely honored to be on the platform and continuing with our series, Advance. Do you love the word that Pastor John brought for the year, advance? So whether you're in the room, we've got some of our team gathered here, but the majority of you are in your room, wherever that is right now, or maybe you're listening later. But I believe today this is going to be a word that will literally change the trajectory or the fulfillment, the value, the expertise that can come from your life will literally be changed if you take this word today and apply it. So the theme has been advanced, and I love that Pastor John started the year with the scripture, Psalm 18:29, with your help, I can advance against a troop with you. My God, I can scale a wall. Advance in prayer. We're going to advance in mission. And we had Steve the first week and Pastor John last week, advance in mission. Then we've got advance in community and advance in promise. And this week, I'm going to talk about advancing in community. And the message title is, what holds us all together? What holds us all together? I love that song that we've been singing, and we have time at the end, we'll sing it again. What holds us all together? Some of you right now, you've been feeling that things are falling apart a little bit, and this is a message directly for you. God is seeing your heart, he's seeing what's needed. And right now, his Holy Spirit is pouring into your heart exactly what you need. Many years ago, I qualified as a physiotherapist, and I worked at the Norfolk and Norwich. In fact, there's a picture. We discovered a picture the other day of me as a physio in my uniform. I actually grabbed the uniform, and I was quite pleased that I could still manage to fit into it, just about. And I worked in, I specialize in neuro physiology, and I was helping rehabilitation. And there was one guy I remember particularly. He'd had a motorbike accident. He was in the hospital at the Norfolk and Norwich, and then as an outpatient in the West Norwich. He had a long recovery period, but he couldn't wait to get walking again. But I remember initially I had to work on his core strength, on the muscles that held his balance together, so that he could then take a step forwards. You see, the movement started to return. He had a spinal and head injuries, but thankfully it wasn't complete paralysis. It was returning, and the movement was coming back in his legs, and he was frustrated. But first of all, he had to get the strength in his core and balance. And eventually, you see, if there's weakness on one side, it can pull the pelvis round so that your body's not in correct alignment. It can cause pain, and it can cause back problems and cause problems in the future when you're moving and advancing forwards. And so we worked on that. Eventually he got walking in some parallel bars that he could just touch and hold on to keep him in correct alignment. Simon, and eventually he was able to walk out of the hospital. I'm saying that illustration because the Bible refers to us as a body, as the body of Christ. And in order to advance as a church, we need to be held together. We need to be in correct alignment before we can move forward. The Apostle Paul is talking to the early church and he uses this incredible analogy. Colossians 1:15, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is before all things, and in Him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. Now, I know a lot of you have heard about we're the body of Christ, we're His hands and feet, but I got a fresh revelation of reading this week. You know, we were all created in God's image. In Genesis, it says He created man and women in His image. Being created in His image means that we have God-ordained relationships, that we have godly identity, that we have godly creativity, that we have godly dominion. That means leadership is on your life, influence is on your life. Now, the full expression of God's identity, God's image in us is demonstrated through the church. So Jesus is the head. We are the body. Individuals coming together that become complete in Jesus Christ. And as the scripture says, all God's fullness that dwells in Jesus dwells in us as His body. Together we represent God. We represent Jesus to a fallen humanity. What a privilege, but what a responsibility. And this is only possible through His Spirit. You know, we talk about being in Christ. That way of actually being in Christ is actually fulfilled when we are in His church, when we are in His body. You see, we are all belong, we all needed. Community is more than just a social club or a community hall. It is Christ's body, living, moving, breathing organism on this earth. And as Pastor John said earlier, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. 1 Corinthians 12:12 in the Message says, you can easily see how this kind of thing works, looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. No matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. It's essential that we as a body present Jesus Christ to our world, but also as individuals, we'll be the most creative, the most strongest sense of identity. We will have fulfillment when we are part of His body. Our church, her health, growth, influence, and longevity is determined by the way that we are held together. Don't you love the church? When one member is feeling weak, in pain, or absent, it affects the rest of the body. I need you, you need me. I need you, Jill. I need you, Alan. I need you, Sarah. I need you, Emily. I need you, David. All of us are needed. Correct alignment is needed. We need to look like the head. Actually, there's a bit of a crazy picture that someone sent us. That's going to pop up on the screen where these boys, their head does not look like their body. Our body and our head need to be in correct alignment. That's our boy band. So you might be new to church and you're feeling like, I don't really know where I fit. Or maybe you've been coming for a long time and because of our social distancing and the pandemic, you've felt a little disconnected. And maybe you felt disconnected because you're behind a screen. And thank God for our screens, because it's how I'm talking to you today. And those of you in the chat, I'd encourage you to keep encouraging each other and keep communicating through the screens. But however, it can give us a false sense of connection. We can rely on our PC, our smartphone. We can rely on Siri, on Alexa, on Cortana, on Google Assistant, because we want information on tap. Our life is not shaped by information, but in relation. The various forms of social media can make us feel like we're in relation. You know, we have more friends and more likes and more connections, yet we are the loneliest society, actually, in human history. And throughout history, there's always been tribes, there's always been villages, but we've become increasingly isolated, and this pandemic hasn't helped us. And so depression, anxiety can be rampant, and most alarming is loneliness. Mother Teresa said the most terrible poverty is loneliness, the feeling of being unloved. Loneliness has doubled in the past 2 decades. National Campaign to End Loneliness reported 45% of British adults feel sometimes or often lonely. In the Office for National Statistics reported lockdown loneliness last year between April and May 2020, 7.4 million people said their well-being was being affected through being lonely. And how much more will that be a year later? Our bodies are brilliantly created with inbuilt systems to warn us when the ability to thrive or prosper is threatened. Like when we get hungry, it's a warning that our blood sugar is low and we need to eat. When we get thirsty, it's a warning that we're dehydrated, we need to drink. When we have pain, it's a warning that some organ or tissue has been damaged and potentially causing a problem. Loneliness is a warning that we need social interaction. And we sometimes don't recognize it. Sometimes we feel isolated, our body goes into this protective mode. And this can display itself in a tendency to retreat further, less empathy, more defensive, more easily offended. A sense of numbing can even be disturbed sleep. And instead of reaching out, we place walls between us, walls of self-protection. And we like others to think that we've got it all together, when inside we might be falling apart. Of course, I'm talking about everyone else, not you. I'm thankful that Psalm 68:6 says God has put the lonely in families and we can bring solution. Real life change happens in the context of relationships. We're created for community. We're wired for connection. The primary way we see this happen is through the church. And those 4 areas that Pastor John declared that we're going to advance as a community, they all happen through relationship. I absolutely love this description of the early church, and this is where our key text is today in Acts chapter 2. It led to the Holy Spirit had just been poured out. Peter the fisherman had got up and preached this amazing message. 3,000 people had become Christians. The early church was birthed. And then towards the end, it gives this description, and I love it. It says, every believer, in verse 42, was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked together to one another, sharing communion, coming together regularly for prayer, a deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. I love that. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body. They shared with one another whatever they had. Out of the generosity, they sold assets to distribute to proceeds for those who were in need. And daily they met in the temple courts in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts, tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding daily to their numbers those who were coming to life. That gives gives me goosebumps. I love reading this. Could this be a description of Soul Church? Coming out of lockdown, a church that is full of life, a church that is bringing people daily to life. How did normal everyday people supernaturally grow in unity and miraculously advance in community? Their hearts were mutually linked. They were aligned as one body, held together by one another in homes. They saw miracles. Strong relationships are the glue that holds a church together. Your part in this body is needed. You are needed. Whether you've been coming for first time online or whether you've been coming for many years, you are needed. Pop something to encourage somebody in the chat. You are needed. Name somebody's name. Our church is better because of you. The part you play makes a difference. Romans 12:5 says, we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. The Apostle Paul mentions this phrase, one another, throughout the New Testament. In order to move forward and advance as a church, we need one another. So this is some takeaways for you. First of all, we are held together by one another. Advance in community. The solution of when we're held together by one another, we can truly advance in community and advance in unity. Their hearts were mutually linked. They were linked, connected. I love a good heart to heart. Do you love a good heart to heart? Can I encourage you, even at this time when we've had a lot of time on our own, just our families, keep being vulnerable. Keep the heart to hearts. We need to move from foyer friendship to family friendship. You know, the foyer or atrium, when we come before and after church, it can be superficial. Of course, we're not. We're the most genuine, down-to-earth people. But we need to move from foyer friendship to family friendship, where we become part of a group, part of a team. We invite people to our homes when we can. Thank God it's coming. To restaurants, we connect, we encourage. You know, whether you want to find a group like Alpha or Keys to Freedom, our Wednesday morning prayer, there's so many ways that we can develop real conversation. Now, I'm aware that a message like this can make some people feel awkward. Can I say to you, there's no rush to connect. You take your time, but I believe by the end of this message, you will want to be part of this incredible organism, this incredible body of Christ, because it will help you to feel like you belong and fulfill what's on your life. In fact, our church is extremely attractive to new people. We get messages from people all the time that come. They love the atmosphere. They love the relationships. We get guest speakers coming and they're saying, we just love the community. Pastor Chantel and I were chatting this week. I was saying how we moved back from Australia, being there for 15 years. We had a beautiful home there and a swimming pool in the backyard and beautiful sunshine at the beach every week. But we chose community and the call of God over lifestyle. And Pastor Chantel was saying, you know, having lived in sunny California and Cape Town, she loved Norwich. She was drawn to Norwich even as a young girl. Of course, Pastor John might have had a bit of an attraction there. She's not made of wood, is she? But there was something about Norwich that drew her. So we were saying that there's nowhere else on the planet we would rather be. As we were walking along muddy Marriott's Way, we were saying, we love Norwich. Community actually improves our immunity. I was listening on the radio this week, and it's actually ironic because this researcher was talking about, her name was Susie Godson, about how community improves our immunity and how hugs in particular release oxytocin, which fights the stress hormone cortisol, which improves our immunity. And she was actually saying that you need hugs. I'm like, yes, we need hugs. And she was suggesting, it was quite funny actually, she was suggesting to people in this pandemic that we hug ourselves. So she, in fact, let's stop a moment. On your settee there in the room, put your arms around yourself and squeeze really tight. Give yourself a big hug and tell yourself you're awesome. You gotta love yourself, love the way God created you. Give yourself a good hug. In Japan, they're actually selling cushions with inbeat heartbeats because it makes, or a hot water bottle. She suggested a hot shower and a hot water bottle to anyway. Listen, don't worry. We are coming out. As Pastor John says, we're having a come for a cuddle Sunday. The oxytocin will flow. We will sing, "Bind Us Together, Lord," as an old song for those of you that might remember many years ago. But Jesus said, loving each other is the key to health, but it's the key to showing the world that we are his disciples. It actually helps us advance in mission. In John 13, 34, a new commandment, Jesus said. So this wasn't a good idea. It wasn't a suggestion. Jesus said, a commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. There's that word, one another, again. Jesus said, we're to love each other as he loved us. That's tough. Jesus crossed many racial divides, social divides. Like, he crossed lines on purpose. He loved the lepers. He reached out to the Samaritans. He reached out to the women, the outcasts. Genuine love. We need to lay aside those things that would seek to divide us and be the expression of Jesus, which is the Trinity. They exist in relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So unity in diversity is the best way that we can honor Jesus and show him to our world. Society has never been more divided by political, social, racial forces, and our church should and is a place where everyone is welcomed and loved as they are. And with so many beliefs and opinions, us Brits can be quite opinionated, can't we? We need to be able to focus on the things that unite and not on the labels that can divide us. A beautiful illustration of this is in my key text, just a couple of verses before, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples to get them ready to go out into the world and take the message of Jesus. It says in Acts 2:5, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. In verse 8 to 10, it lists 15 nations: modern-day Iranians, Iraq, North Africans, Libyans, Asians, Egyptians, and Israelis, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Challenge: how many people do you talk to that don't have the same skin color or the same background? We need to take those labels off. See, everyone has a lanyard, an invisible label that says, see me, notice me, value me. But we also can put labels on each other that can divide. Vaxxer, non-vaxxer, right, left, sometimes we even put the labels on ourselves. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by means of one Spirit. You see, through all of this, the Holy Spirit weaves through our relationships, because we're not humanly great at this without his Holy Spirit. We have all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, they're no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. See, in Bible times, it was a big deal whether it was a Jew or a Gentile, or whether they were a slave, or whether they were the master. But these days, we've got different labels. But it's actually, what we need to do is replace those labels with the word Holy Spirit. It's his Spirit that connects us. Romans 5:5 says, God's love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit as a young girl, and many times since, it puts in my heart a love for others. You just want to go and love everybody. How can we actively show love and kindness? There's a whole load of scriptures throughout the New Testament. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. comfort one another, bear with one another, have compassion for one another, greet one another with a kiss. Hello. Through love, serve one another. So I wanted to spend most of my time on that. Now here's number two, is serving one another. We are held together by serving one another. This causes us to advance in using our God-given gifts. In Acts 2, it said, all the believers were in fellowship as one body. They shared with one another what they had out of generosity. You know, the generosity was not just giving and financial. And our generosity is not just giving towards, and we're loving the fact that you're such a generous church. And we've got a new building coming. But our generosity can be presented by serving. It's exemplified through our willingness to serve. Serving one another enables us to function as a body. It enables us to grow. Being part of a healthy body, healthy things grow. You know, a foot is not going to grow if it's detached from the body. The patient that I was working with, even though his muscles and his legs started to work, the rest of the body needed to follow to be in correct alignment. I had to work with him and he had to work with me. We need to work with each other so we can be whole in order to move forward. Community brings opportunity. Our kids, our young adults, our youth, when they're serving in church, performing in the wonder or on the worship team, or they develop people skills, confidence, God-given talents, skills for our business leaders. Many of you use the biblical principles, our kingdom builders. It builds a strength of connection together. Our young mums. I remember I lost a lot of confidence after I had my first baby. Just being part of a church and serving the empty nesters, those that are retired. It brings a new sense of purpose and direction. Our dream team is not just a list of jobs. It's being part of a group. It's functioning as a body. It's participating as a family in God's house. It's stirring up dreams, creativity, belonging, achieving something bigger, personal growth and potential. There's something deep down in every single one of you that has yet to be released through connection. I love the scripture in 1 Peter 4. It says, each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the grace of God. Are you a good steward of the gifts God has given you? You might think, I don't have many gifts. Every one of you have been given gifts and things that you love. Whether you play an instrument, sing, you're good with people, good with finance, you're a writer, you're good at admin, and then you're good with kids. Maybe there's all the spiritual gifts too. You can pray for someone. You can encourage someone. And as our human body grows and connected with ligaments and muscles, the same way our church body grows when we are functioning correctly. Hebrews 10:24 says, stir one another up to love and good works. You can actually encourage and inspire each other. On our sisterhood night, we were in the building, some of us, to put together a Zoom that you were all part of. And there were lots of our girls getting organized for the production side of it. They were doing the creative side of it, the filming. My daughter Mercy was with me, and she observed young girls, young women, all finding their place and making a difference. And we came home that night in the car, and Mercy's grown up in church. She got a fresh perception of what it means to contribute and to serve. She was so excited to see other girls that she looks up to think, I want to be part of this. I want to help. I want to contribute. There's something that stirs each other up to make a difference. We can stir up the Holy Spirit in each other, stir up a passion. We used to sing that song, stir it up in our hearts, Lord, a passion for your name. Stir up laughter. I love that our senior pastors are good with the laughter. Like, we're constantly life-giving as a church. Did you know that laughter is therapeutic? Solomon, the wisest man that lived, said it was like a medicine. And psychologists say that it's a medicine. The Bible says that it's a medicine. It actually helps with decision making. It's a bonding agent. It bonds us as human beings and it lowers stress. Actually, the mental health help guide says nothing works faster or more dependably to bring your mind and body back into balance than a good laugh. Keep having a good laugh. One of the largest churches in America, Pastor Joel Osteen, 50,000 people. He's called the smiling preacher. My nephew Daniel loves listening to him. He starts every message with a joke. Now, I'm not bringing you jokes today, but we can continue to laugh like our senior pastors. Find any opportunity. Laugh at yourself. It's Agnes Replier. She's an 18th century writer, said, "You cannot really love anyone with whom you never laugh." Laugh together. You can't laugh on your own. You can, but it's a bit weird. It's easier when you can laugh together. So loving one another, serving one another. And thirdly, we're held together by praying for one another. And this causes us to advance in the miraculous. Acts 2 says, sharing communion, coming together regularly with prayer. A deep sense of holy awe spread over everyone. Miraculous signs and wonders. They met in one another's homes. I love that the early church were not only loving and serving, but they saw miracles. They knew the power of prayer. Pastor John preached a message last year, God is quite at home in a small setting. Invite a big God into your small setting. Where two or three gather in my name, Matthew 18:20, I am there in the midst. Would you love a holy awe to sweep over our church? A culture of prayer and miracles. It's already starting. We're having our prayer meeting, our Zoom prayer meeting on a Wednesday morning. In James 5, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We quote this often. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And in the Amplified, it says it releases tremendous power, available, dynamic in its working. But the first part of that says, confess your trespasses. That just means being vulnerable, being honest. It's not telling your sins to everyone, but it's telling them about your weaknesses, your challenges, your offenses. I had to work on this. I'm the kind of person that would always put my lippy on, quote the word, I'm fine, I'm good, until things started to self-implode. And I almost burnt out a few years ago because I wasn't honest with where I was at. I had an honest conversation with a close friend this week. We need to keep being vulnerable. Because it, as this scripture says, it creates an atmosphere for the miraculous when we're real with each other. Friendship is born at the time when one person says to another, what, you too? C.S. Lewis. So in your groups, in your home right now, create an atmosphere for the miraculous. When you pray for each other, expect miracles to take place. I remember we read these prayer requests or praise reports each week. And I remember reading these out regularly from a group actually in Hillsong, Brisbane. They would have miracles every few weeks because they joined together as a group and believed that they would get their job, that they would get their financial breakthrough, that their kid would be healed. And regularly there were miracles. And encourage you within your groups as a couple, as friends. Friendships, believe for some miracles. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, there started to be more and more miracles. In fact, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it happened in a house. It happened on the second floor of a man's house. Soul Church, in your home, right now, invite the Holy Spirit to come and you can encounter God in this moment. See, we're missing altar call moments where we come to the front and someone can stand beside us and pray for us. I want to encourage you that that can happen even now across the screen or in the room. I spoke to one of our young adults this week. She's had anxiety-related problems for quite a lot of years. It affected her job, it affected relationships, it affected her moving forward and all that God had for her. And this week, at the beginning of the week, she told me, "Rachel, last week I had the most incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit that I've never had before." I'm like, "Tell me about it. That's my language. I love it." And she's speaking to someone in our church over the phone, and they're praying for her. She puts the phone down and turns, or keeps it on, turns up the volume on speaker so her hands are free, and she lifts her hands to receive from God. And she described to me she had a vision of Jesus literally sitting beside her on her couch and placing his hand on her shoulder. And she was like, oh, she could almost feel it. And she was like, oh, Jesus. Oh, it's only a vision. But she felt Jesus say to her, "I am with you. It's not just a vision. I'm here with you right now in your bedroom." And then she felt this light in her heart, in her mind, and saw Jesus literally lifting out the triggers, lifting out those things that cause her anxiety. And as he was lifting them out, he was replacing them with his peace, with his joy, with his gentleness, with his love. And the phone call finished and she felt free. She said, "Rachel, I'm healed from anxiety." She said, "That's a big statement, but I'm healed." And I called her again yesterday just to validate this. And she's bright. She's full of life. She said, "There was a moment this week where it started to stir up, and straight away I thought about Jesus' hand on my shoulder." You see, you might not physically have someone's hand on your shoulder right now, but the presence of God, like the early church, can miraculously step in and bring healing to your body, healing to your mind, and bring breakthrough for once and for all. So right now, I'm going to pray for each one in your home for a miracle. But first of all, I want to pray for the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle that could ever happen is when a human heart responds to Jesus. You see, I've talked just now about being held together by love and held together by our works and making and serving each other and held together by prayer. But the only way we can truly be held together as an individual, as I said, is knowing Jesus Christ. You see, when our relationship with God vertically is right, our relationships horizontally with others will be right. And as we're coming out of this pandemic, the best thing you can do right now is to say yes to relationship with Jesus. He knows you. He loves you. He's reaching out his arms. In fact, on that day where the Holy Spirit flooded through the church, Simon Peter stood up and he invited many to know Jesus. And he said, "This promise is for you and your children, to those who are afar off, to those who are near." Some of you may feel afar off. Some of you may feel close. However near or far you are feeling today, he is reaching out with his arms of love. "I died for you. I love you. It doesn't matter about your past, your skin color, your political persuasion. Doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. Come as you are." So I'm going to pray this simple but powerful prayer. And I would ask that right in your living room, or maybe you have walked away from God and you've got distracted during this COVID season. You've become a bit disconnected, not just from church, but disconnected from God. And you know your relationship isn't that heartbeat that it once was. Come to him now. Repeat this prayer after me, and we're going to join together. "Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Right now, I reach out to you. I ask that you would fill my heart with your love. Take away my sin. I thank you for meaning and purpose. And I thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Can we applaud each and every one that have responded today? And Those of you that have responded, we love that you have. Our church here are applauding you. And we would love you to take the next step. Maybe put it in the chat that you prayed that prayer, or jump online. There's a few ways that you can text, or you can pop online and let us know that you prayed that prayer. And we would love to call you and encourage you.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.